Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And this morning we welcome Heidi Goff and Maddie Casanova from PA Leadership Charter School. Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad to have both of you. I feel like I'm going to learn a lot today, not just because it's cyber education, but it's education online, it sounds like. So Heidi, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning. I am the Director of Marketing over at the Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School, and Maddie is with me, and she's part of my team, and she's the Marketing Assistant here today as well. We are really the front line for families when they are looking for school options, so they would meet either myself or one of our members of team. You probably hear a small accent, so I'm originally from the UK. I've actually been over in the US now for about 15 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, I love the accent. Good morning, Maddie. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good. So tell us a little bit about cyber education. What is it? Who do you serve?
So we are a K-12 cyber school for Pennsylvania residents. Cyber school is basically, you know, the traditional learning, but we use technology that enhances learning. Today, it's such a digital world, so a lot of people are, you know, becoming interested in cyber schooling. It's becoming more mainstream, so it's really awesome to be able to educate those about our cyber school option. It's just, you know, we have another option for public schooling if, you know, people want something else to kind of look into.
No, that's very interesting. I've heard that the trend is going to be that school is going to be online, that, you know, you won't have to pay for all the buildings, the facilities, and that the trend and the future way of schooling will be online.
That's correct, Renee. Distance learning in its traditional format has been around actually for over 100 years. So where people would just read books and go online, not online, sorry, but do courses and then get certificates from it. So online education's actually been around for about a little over actually 15 years. It's becoming more and more of a original concept now. It's not so alien to everybody anymore. When you look at some of the higher ed colleges, and they've been doing online for a really long time, and they see the benefit because of what it can actually offer to our students. So the flexibility, the scheduling, kind of working around life. We've actually been around since 2004, so we're still, you know, new in the education world, as it would be, but we've been around since 2004.
Well, it seems like the millennials, the next generations, they are so digitally savvy, and they're most comfortable with the digital technical world. I think there might be a break as the generations get older, and the people, you know, my age, although I love to think I'm technically savvy, but I think, you know, the next generations of kids, this seems to be a nice fit for them.
It absolutely is. We are actually teaching computer coding to kindergartners. So when you think that we've got five-year-olds that are already navigating how to do web development, apps, building their own like little mini video games and just general coding, I'm really curious to see where we're going to go in the next 10 years.
Oh my goodness, our jaws are on the ground here. We have to get Russ under control here. Yes, I mean, this starts young, the whole digital.
I'd like to weigh in on that. That's not fair.
Yeah. Uh-oh, you have competition, Russell. Look out. But okay, tell me a little bit more. So how does the cyber education work?
Well, like Maddie said, it's like a traditional school program, except it's at home. And that's an interesting concept for some people because they're like, well, what do you mean? There's no interaction, there's no teachers, there's no peers. What does that look like? If anything, it's completely the opposite to the misconceptions that are out there. We have live classrooms. Students can interact with their peers, so we actually have live lessons where they can actually talk back and forth. The teacher can load up lesson information. It can be completely interactive. So if anything, it's actually a better option because there's less distractions than there would be in a traditional brick-and-mortar classroom. So, you know, you've not got Johnny in the back of the class pulling gum out of the hair or Mary needing to go to the bathroom 13 times a day. They can actually focus on sitting down and actually completing their lessons.
Oh my goodness, that's a completely different visual than I had in mind. Oh, that's great. Now we might lose the millennials because now they might be really held accountable for what they're doing with PA Leadership Charter Schools. So, no, I think that's wonderful. They can interact with and they can ask questions to the teacher, I'm taking it.
Yes, actually one of my favorite parts is during the live virtual lessons when the teachers are teaching, there's actually a little button where you can press and you can virtually raise your hand. The little hand wiggles and it's so cute. So that way, you know, the teacher can see that you have a question and address your question, which is really nice because there still is a class chat involved where the students can, you know, talk to each other and bounce ideas off of each other. And a lot of people, you know, are very familiar with, if you have a question, somebody else in the classroom probably has the same question. So it's nice that way. It's not just, you know, the teacher and the one student. It's the whole class is still involved.
I could see my son liking that better because he's afraid to raise his hand in class. Like, this seems not more non-threatening or something. I don't know. I think that sounds really neat.
Yeah, it is really awesome just because, you know, if you do want to kind of go out and reach out to other students, you have that option. But if you really want to focus on your academics and stick to yourself, you can do that as well.
So it's like the technology of Skyping or GoToMeeting type thing, but it's on the charter school program, I guess.
Yeah, right now we're using Adobe Connect and Zoom, which is very, very similar to the Skype and the FaceTime and things like that. But it's a little bit more intuitive and a little bit more interactive. So instead of having that delay sometimes that you can get with Skype, this is completely two-way interactive. And, you know, the students can see what's being written. The teacher can see what's being written. It's literally like you and I talking today.
Okay, because I did have a concern, oh, the Skype, it does have a delay, you know, you caught some of it, but this is much more, sounds like technically savvy, really.
Absolutely, and some of our lessons are recorded as well. So if there's the need to go back and actually re-listen to that, or perhaps there was content missing, we can absolutely go back and look at that too.
Now, I can see this is obviously focused for home and maybe more on the homeschooling type. But can you get it from your phone and from a tablet and from different locations and things?
Yes, as long as you have access to internet, you can, you know, log into Moodle, which is our school operating system. That's where, you know, everything's going to be at, your grades, your lessons. That's how you contact your teachers, calendars, your lesson progression, which is really cool. You can see kind of, you know, where you're at in every lesson, figure out where you need to get to and in order to complete that lesson.
And the nice thing with that is there's no surprises come report card time either, because as parents, you can actually see where your children are, what assignments have been sent in, and what the current grades are too.
That's really good. So could you tell if I'm at the beach every day? Can you tell my background if I was schooling from the beach?
Just from your IP address, but we don't mind as long as the work's getting completed.
Okay, just testing. I think that brings up something too, that families are so busy that maybe this is the perfect alternative for them for schooling. It seems like it would fit better into schedules. Could you do it at night, or there definitely are time slots for the classes?
So as far as attendance goes, you just have to log in once a day, Monday through Friday, anywhere within the 24-hour period. So, which is really nice because not every student likes to wake up at 7 in the morning and start their school day then. I was one of those. Waking up in the morning was not my favorite thing to do. I always kind of wish that I could, you know, start around maybe 9 o'clock. And then, you know, we have a lot of students who need that flexible schedule. Gymnastics, for an example, they're in the gym all day long and they, you know, have that as their first priority. And then they want to come, you know, and focus on their schoolwork because obviously that's important too. And they can do it at the time that works most conveniently for them so that they can get both things done. So just as long as you log in once a day, you're counted present. Time management is key though. You know, a lot of people think, You log in, you don't have to do work for the day, but we can tell that you're not doing work, and we do have, you know, people constantly checking up on you, making sure that you're staying on top of things, getting your work done. So that's important as well to, you know, manage your time and keep logging in, doing your work, but, you know, you have that flexibility at the same time.
Oh, I think that sounds great. So what if your child has special needs or you find they are falling behind? How does a teacher follow up with that student with this type of setup?
That's a great question, Renee, because as a public school, we do serve children with special needs. We can take a look at the IEP and the evaluations and really kind of see what that child needs to be successful in this model. Some of our children actually have co-teachers. So as well as their regular education teacher, they would have their special education teacher as well. And this is making sure that any lesson modifications that need to take place or any adaptations that need to be put there, like on the computer screen, or even if a child has a PT schedule, so if they have to go to physical therapy because they have a physical disability, we can still accommodate that. And that's the wonderful thing about this model, is we tailor it as much as possible to each and every single child's needs. So if you do have a child that has some learning difficulties and perhaps they're really, really great readers but not the strongest in math, we can actually tier their curriculum to their needs. So we can come in and say, where are you? What are you looking for? And we can actually work with our academic advisors as well that can really kind of keep the child on track. You'll have a fantastic relationship with your guidance counselor, regardless of what tier you come in with a student, because our guidance counselors are extremely active in this model as well. And a lot of people don't realize that. We have all of those services that you would actually find in a traditional brick and mortar school. As I said, including physical therapists, school psychologists, speech therapists, everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. Who knew? Who knew this existed out in cyberspace? Okay.
We've been around a long time.
You know, I'm probably asking silly questions, but I am really learning. I think I've had a fear of cyber schooling all this time, but I feel that we all need to plug into it because I really think it's going to be the wave of the future. And I even hear that from teachers. So speaking of teachers, I assume it's all accredited teachers and all highly skilled professionals?
Yes, all of our teachers are state certified, and their curriculum is approved by the state as well. It's really awesome because they design and create their own curriculum. So they're using, you know, publishing companies that you are commonly hearing, Scott Forsman, Macmillan, McGraw-Hill, but they're taking that information and creating their own curriculum, which is really nice because that goes back to, you know, tailoring it to each individual student's needs.
That's great. I think one of the fears I've had with either homeschooling or cyber school is, what about the social activity or interaction, I guess I should say, with the children? I guess I'm like, you know, they're at home, they're learning, but where are they getting the social skills that I think they need too?
So other than the class chats and, you know, our teachers reaching out to the students, really trying to build that relationship with them, we do have clubs for kindergarten through 12th grade, and we also go on field trips. We try and do as many field trips as we can to get the students together, involved with the teachers, and a lot of the common field trips that we go to are, you know, museums. In Philadelphia, we go to the Franklin Institute, we go to the Philly Stadium, the Philadelphia Zoo, the Camden Aquarium, the Carnegie Science Center out in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Zoo, just anywhere that we can, you know, find somewhere where would be a great learning experience for the students to be able to come together and have that socialization aspect.
And in addition to that, as our students get older, we do offer international travel as well. So our students have gone to China. They've gone down and worked in the marine biology down in Florida. So there are lots of opportunities there for our children to experience, perhaps more so than in a traditional school, because we actually do more field trips than the traditional brick and mortar school, because we understand how important it is to get our students together. But obviously, with the day being a little bit shorter and scheduled differently, there's no reason why our students can't be involved in community activities. So be it sports, be it choir, be it ballet, be it members of their community or their church, there's no reason why they can't become more involved in that too.
So it's not a cyber trip. They actually go, physically go as humans.
Yeah.
To a physical location. Okay.
Yeah.
And the other side of that too is, like, you and I are interacting now. We live in the same geographical area. We actually have students that are interacting across state. So they're already learning those skills about where different people come from, what different mannerisms people might have. You know, we've got the Steelers out in the West and we've got the Eagles out in the East. And the minute we start that with the kids, oh my goodness. I mean, it's quite funny to see that interaction. But there are some students that may not have been fortunate to be able to go out to Pittsburgh, but they can still have that interaction.
I think that's also another point. What is your service area? Because WFYL is on Webstream, who do you service here?
We serve the entire state of Pennsylvania. So as long as you know you have proof of residence that you're living in Pennsylvania, you are able to come to our school.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So I would think that cyber schooling goes on across the country, but your service area, PA Leadership Charter School, services PA. It only makes sense, right?
Absolutely. There are some other states out there that do have some online programming. Pennsylvania is probably the most forward with that at this time. There are actually 14 cyber schools in Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness.
So standalone cybers.
Oh, my goodness. See, I think that does show the increased trending of schooling online. So I think that's wonderful. So as a parent, it sounds like, you know, the children have great interaction. They have all these options to interact with other children, the teacher, and the field trips. But how about the parents? How do they get involved with their child's education?
Our home facilitators, either the parents or the guardians, there's obviously a different level of involvement depending on your child's age. Kindergarten through fifth grade is definitely more involved, trying to make sure that their students are staying on top of things, getting their lessons done. Usually we say anywhere from, you know, 70 to 100% involvement, depending on the child. Middle school, you know, getting a little bit more independent, that's usually anywhere from 30 to, you know, 70%. And then kindergarten through fifth grade. High school is, you know, a lot less. The students are older, you know, figuring things out on their own, anywhere from 0 to 10%. As a parent, you know, you want the best for your child. You want to make sure that they're getting the education that you want them to get. We do have a parent network, which is awesome because the parents get to talk to each other using Google Plus, and they can bounce ideas off of each other. And we post online webinars that are coming up so that, you know, the parents can attend those and see, you know, different advice that people are talking about, cyber school education, things like that, where we think it might be beneficial for you to, you know, learn more about what you can do for your child to receive that best education that they can get.
And it's really no more than what a parent is currently doing. So, you know, you've got your student that goes to school for 8 hours a day, and then you're sitting as a family for 6 hours trying to complete that work. So why not do that in an environment that's more adaptable to both of you? And just, if you don't want to do math first thing in the morning, let's do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the parental involvement, although really, really important, there is still some flexibility for our parents there too. Once we reach high school, as Maddie said, we are looking more towards our independent learners. So the skills that they're going to need in the outside world, whether they're work-bound, college-bound, or if they're taking a year out, whatever it might be, those skills are really important. And it's time management and self-management and accountability, all of those things. So as they do get older, we ask our parents to step off a little bit, but you still have access to emails. You can still call and email your teachers. You don't have to wait for parent-teacher night. It's pretty instant where you can send an email to your teacher, I'm concerned about my child's grades, and you will get a response straight away.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about that as we were talking. Does the parent have to sit next to the student all 12 years, like right by their side? So I'm like that you gave the percentages where, you know, you're guiding the parents too. Like, how much involvement should you have or do you need to have at this stage of their life? So I think that's really great, because that part scared me if I had to sit next to my child 12. I mean, I love them dearly, but sitting next to them for 12 years, I don't think they'd appreciate that either. So you, as they grow, the parents grow up. You got to worry about the parents. Yeah.
And that's what we say. You're a facilitator, not a teacher. So that's what our teachers do. We are there teaching the students. You don't have to relearn algebra. You don't have to worry about doing that all over again.
Thank you.
But they're there just basically to facilitate. So making sure that the environment is sustainable for learning.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think, you know, that does promote the parent interaction versus... Unfortunately, I guess there's some parents that send their child off and I'll see you in 12 years kind of thing. But I love that this has the interaction and everyone's participating in the better of the child. So that's really wonderful. So how would I start the process? If I'm a parent, do I have to go out to this somewhere in cyberspace? And how would I get in touch with you? Could I meet you in person?
Yes, we do offer online information sessions. So if you'd be interested in coming in on site onto our office, learning more about our school, that is an option. We have our website, which is awesome, www.palcs.org. And you can contact us that way if you're interested in coming on site for an information session. We also offer online information sessions. And then if you want to just give us a call, you can, you know, schedule an appointment with us. And if you're making the decision to apply, our application is online as well.
Now, could we meet you in person? Do you have offices?
Yes.
Physical?
Yes, we have our office in Westchester, and that is where I work. So you would be able to come into our office and meet with me personally, and I'd be able to talk to you more about the school and what we offer. And then we have our office out in Pittsburgh as well. That is, you know, where my colleagues work. So they would be happy to meet with you and, you know, show you what we're all about out there as well.
Okay. And I believe you mentioned learning centers. Do you have?
Yes, we do. In addition to the actual cyber component of our school, we actually have two on-site learning programs, and they're a little bit different in nature. We're hearing all the time about traditional public schools removing like the arts and music and science. Well, we actually have an on-site Center for Performing and Fine Arts, and that has a full dance studio, it has a full stage, and it really does just focus on the fine arts and performing. It's fantastic. And then our other program actually is for our gifted learners. So that actually starts at grade 6 and up. That is really for our exceptional learners. So those children that have a gift and are really advanced. It's not uncommon for us to see our 6th graders working at a high school level or above, if not at an AP level, because they just are accelerating through the school district. So that is actually a partially on-site program as well. But both of those programs are housed in Westchester, but they are available on a cyber model as well.
Okay. And I might have another side question here of, since you mentioned you are a public school, do you receive state funding and such? How do parents pay for this? Is it privately owned?
That's a great question, Renee. Okay. Actually, no, we are a public school, which means that there is no charge to our parents. We actually receive our funding from the state and from the school districts. When a child actually joins us, we notify the school district and take a couple of forms and go backwards and forwards, but we have about 70% of the funding. But that's how we get our funds moving forward. It's basically from the school districts and the state. It's tuition free for the parents.
Wow, I think that's progressive for the state of Pennsylvania here. I'm pretty proud. That's great. Now, I appreciate you both being here. We have Heidi Goff here today, the director of marketing from the PA Leadership Charter School. And we also have Maddie Casanova. Again, can you please give us information on how we get in touch with you if our audience is interested in your schooling?
Yes, we welcome you to visit our website at www.palcs.org or give us a call at 1-877-725-2785.
And again, we're here today with Heidi Goff and Maddie Casanova from PA Leadership Charter School. We appreciate you tuning in today because our schooling for our children and a balanced life for our children matters. So I am Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and this is Balanced Life. Thank you.
Jesus, Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. This morning we have Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors. Good morning, Michael. Michael is the Executive Director of Life Stewardship Advisors in Lancaster, PA, where he and his team offer expert financial, estate, and charitable gift planning. With over 25 years of experience, he helps individuals and couples discover, plan, implement, and monitor godly stewardship principles in their financial and total lives. Michael, I love the fact that talking to you about money is easy, because sometimes I think as Christians it's a hard subject or an uncomfortable subject, but you explain things so well and make me comfortable with that and what is sometimes an intimidating subject, so thank you for that. And investing is definitely an uncomfortable subject, so can maybe start off today with the topic of really basic explanation of investing, something like investing for dummies.
Sure.
Don't call me a dummy. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that whoever wrote those books, they made a lot.
Made a lot of money.
It's a great idea, but it is. It's trying to bring it down to very simple, understandable concepts. And you're right. People are uncomfortable. People are intimidated by talking about money, mostly because they don't understand a lot of it. And also that it's a very private, intimate thing. Mm-hmm. So it is also true that, you know, we get to talk about some of the most important things, the things that people don't, sometimes they don't even talk to their spouses about as much, you know, as they should. And I say as they should, because they really should be talking about those things. But yes, investing, you start with some of the conceptual things of this, because you think about it, investing should be maybe for a time. Start with a time. You either are going to invest for a short term, an intermediate term, or long range, or long term. Now, short-term monies are pretty simple. You've got to have these monies. This is something like 365 days or maybe 18 months or less. Monies that you know have to be really liquid, really safe, really solid, really secure, because those are something you might need within that time frame, and you can't have any fluctuation in value. That's a short-term. Intermediate-term monies might be something, you know, beyond that. What about 3 or 4 years out? That's an intermediate term. Maybe somebody who's investing for children's college or something like that. They start whether in high school or even when they're in grade school. It's not a real long term before college starts kicking in, or maybe preparing to buy a vehicle or something like that. Those are intermediate terms. So you don't necessarily just want to sit on cash. You just want to also maybe have a little bit of growth potential. And then, of course, there's long term. And we could talk about long term and that range. Usually retirement dollars are positioned for long term. So that's one aspect about it. You have to invest for a certain term. Excuse me. And then people invest into multiple classes to kind of fit those areas. We've heard of stocks. We've heard of bonds, real estate, different kinds of places. As you start to think about it, you can, those are different classes of assets. And frankly, there's the industry has kind of labeled assets into somewhere between 26 to 29 different asset classes. And in reality, that kind of gets kind of confusing. And that's where people really lose it. Like, what's this large cap thing? What's this, you know?
That's where we start to glaze over.
Right, that's exactly right. And the guys who love that type of thing, they really do. And mm-hmm. you could break them into subclasses. But I like to get down to the simplicity of it. And I mentioned something a little bit earlier today to some folks about brevity. You talk about things in real short synopsis. If you don't know anything about it, or you know a great deal about it, and you've been able to bring it down to very simple concepts. A real good example that is like C.S. Lewis, you know, the way he took these brilliant concepts and reduced them to very simple ways in which everybody can understand. So some of the most brilliant people that I know from the money management standpoint have just took that 26, 29 different asset class idea out of the picture and said there's really only two asset classes. There's those assets that are secure and those assets that are at risk. It's just that simple. And the secure assets are the ones that can't lose value, and the at-risk assets are the ones that can lose value. And then there's two fundamental ways to manage those. You either manage those actively or you manage those passively. And if you can reduce it to those simple concepts, you've got your first good step into investing.
Okay, so it makes sense, the secure ones and the risk ones. What do you recommend? Or it just depends on the person?
Absolutely depends on the person. Because theoretically, every investment, every place you put your money has some level of risk. You think about it, if you put all your money in cash, well, isn't there the potential for purchasing power risk? It's like the bad steward who buried his talent. It didn't even earn interest at the bank or with the creditors, you know, or I guess the accounts. You got to at least earn something. But if it's not even giving you to the point of adjusting to inflation, you know, there's a level of risk. But on the other hand, if it's in cash and cash is cash, you know, there's a great deal more stability in something like that. So you have to have a careful balance. And there are those types of investments that are secured that have the potential to earn in up markets but lose nothing in down markets. And that's a certain component of what your portfolio should consist of, especially as you get older and approach retirement. So you take a person, again, who's older, you should have a greater amount of secure assets as opposed to at-risk assets.
Okay, so there's a lot of factors that go into that, whether it's age or assets, like you said. So if people can manage their own money, why and when do they need a money manager like you?
Well,
I mean, I know you're great. No.
and there are many out there who can help with this as well, too. What people desire as they're heading toward retirement is that consistent, sustainable cash flow. They're used to it while they're working. They want to make sure that that is sustainable at retirement, when they work less, or they're doing something else that pays them less, whatever. And they also want to maintain their quality of life. Now, think about those two aspects, that consistent, continuous cash flow, sustainable cash flow, and maintaining quality of life. When you have those concepts in mind, then you know that there has to be a certain level of your portfolio that can absorb risk, but that has to be the smaller portion of it. There has to be a bigger portion of it that is secure, where it can't lose value on a year-to-year basis. So you mentioned, you asked me, how do we do this when we starting to think of this? And yes, you do have to get some help, because oftentimes there's so much information out there, it just becomes more and more confusing.
True.
This is a real interesting age in which we live in. It's actually fascinating. And I know that for older folks, you know, they're sort of like a sidebar to this. Yeah. But if you think of the IY generation, this is the very first generation in history that has never had to go to their elders to seek information. They could get it any other place they want.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
And that's the same for us in a certain mm-hmm. respect. We can go to different sites, get this information, and then what do we do with it? So we just need somebody with that expertise to help us sort it out.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit on the second segment, then the types of folks you work with. Is it just retirement age and such? But how can our audience get in touch with you?
FullPotentialSteward.com or www.LifeStewardshipAdvisors.com. Best ways to get in touch.
Thank you. And we're glad to have Michael Novak, the financial planner at Life Stewardship Advisors of Lancaster. Please stay tuned for the second segment so we can learn more about investing. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing for Balanced Life. Be
my source. Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, speaking to Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors of Lancaster. Today we're talking about investing. And before we went to the break, I was asking the question, Michael, do you only help retired or people preparing for retirement?
No, we do not. You know, clearly some of those people who are preparing for retirement have more of the assets that have been accumulated in retirement plans or they've invested. And the older segment of the boomers, the baby boomers, have done a little bit better than the younger section because there's a big, but you have to get started someplace. And when you are in kind of like this mode of teaching life stewardship, when you are latching onto people who are willing to learn, you teach all kinds of people. So, you know, marital counseling, young married groups, individual younger people, certainly. And one of my favorites is doing a personal management merit badge for the Boy Scouts, because
I love that.
Yeah, and if you know anything about them, there's a certain amount of Eagle required merit badges, and
yes,
personal management is one of them. Mm-hmm. So I get to teach these principles within that. Now there's certain criteria they give you, but all these concepts get incorporated into my teaching of the merit badge. And I love it when they've got, you know, some kids who are just scouts or maybe star scouts or whatever. They're very young, maybe 14 years old, but they want to get started. And this is excellent because they're getting these principles very early in life.
I love that. And it can be impactful. And you handle clients from 14 years old to 100.
Well, if you count my kids, it's sooner than that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's true. From birth. Okay.
Well, it all comes down to whether or not they're willing to apply them.
It's true. It all comes down to willingness and the willingness to plan and such. But, you know, you were talking about earlier about there's so much information overload. People can read anything on the internet. It's hard to go through all this information and what is real and what isn't.
Very true. And I mean, this is where, again, it comes down to speaking with a trusted advisor. And that's the what we really intend to be for our clients, their most trusted advisor. We're not their only advisor, but we would like to be their most trusted because we are dealing with some of the most intimate and some of the most meaningful, impactful areas of their lives. So with this information overload comes the more information, the more confusing it becomes, but the more help that's needed. So my advice is to seek wisdom, seek really good help. And then what I would say that, you know, as I think about it, I've done many, many plans, hundreds of plans. And there are some areas that we don't even think about because typically we go into financial planning or investing. And this is all that people want to think about. But you have to deal with legal aspects. This is what a typical plan would entail. What about wills and the legal documents, the powers of attorney, stuff like that, and maybe specialized kind of legal documents? Then you have to deal with debt and cash flow because these are two components. Most everybody that I talk to, no matter what their age, unless they're, you know, well into their retirement years, has some form of debt. And you have to have a continuous, consistent plan to manage that and to get out of that. Investments certainly become a component. What about insurance to manage risk? Because there's multiple areas, another topic to talk about, but you have to have all these components incorporated into your planning. So investing needs to support those other pieces. depending on where you're at, whether it's more for the shorter term or more for long-term investing, that's where it becomes the more specific to those individuals.
And it's just very important because it's protecting your family, it's protecting your legacy, as you've said.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also an area that scares people. So it's nice you have it broken down.
It does. And to take some of that fear component out of that, as I had mentioned to you before, find a trusted advisor. Find somebody that you can really put that faith and trust in. Depending on where you're at, go to kingdomadvisors.com. You can find a trusted Christian financial planner in your area at kingdomadvisors.com.
Yeah, that's great to know. Okay, very good. So what is encouragement that you can give to everyone to be more wisely investing their savings? What can they do?
Okay, that's actually good to come back to, again, the fundamentals. You don't have savings unless you are literally saving. And, you know, it's interesting that you might find this astounding, but almost 9 out of 10, sometimes I think greater than 9 out of 10 of the people who come to me never had a budget or do not have budgets. And I'm not very hard and fast in that. I know some ministries really get hard on that and they want you to identify where every penny is going. I don't need that, but I need you to have a semblance of a budget, because what about if your standard of living gets interrupted by a loss of a job or disability or something like that? It gets squeezed. So you have to know what are the fundamentals that you got to be taking care of. So that's a good place to start. And managing from the standpoint of utilizing these principles, and these are really good, because I had mentioned at one time, no matter what economy, what culture, wherever you're in, if you spend less than what you earn, that'll work for everybody no matter where you're at on this planet. Spend less than what you earn. You're a rich person because you're not in debt. Avoid debt. And I'm not saying that it's a sin to have some debt. Just don't let debt control you. I mean, look at the way credit cards charge. I mean, it's legal to charge up to 24, 25% in interest. I consider that usury. People are in bondage to their debt, which incidentally, by the way, these financial issues are the number one reason for cause of divorce in the country today. There's lots of reasons, but this is the number one reason.
I believe that. It's very stressful.
It's very, very stressful. So Avoid debt if you can. When you have it, control it, manage it. Build liquidity. You got to have some monies that would take care of the emergencies, the things that you don't plan for. You got to have some kind of cash reserves. You don't want to be going into retirement plans or borrowing money if you have a major car repair or a water heater breaks down or something like that. And finally, have a long-term plan. You have to have a means by which you're investing for a long term. And that's actually a good little segue to helping people understand there are ways in which that you can plan, because most people cannot put big gobs of money, but you can on a payroll salary type of basis. You know, every 2 weeks, have a little bit coming off into your company sponsored 401k plan or your 403b, or do it yourself. Somehow just have something taken out, and that is a pre-tax type of way, and you get the benefit of the what they call dollar cost averaging. The markets fluctuate up and down, but doesn't matter to you whatsoever. You're just getting the average of what you're buying on an annual basis.
As you were talking, I was thinking, what about the families living paycheck to paycheck? And as I thought about it more, I'm like, they're the ones who need the budgeting the most.
Absolutely.
It's like the irony.
And think about this. It's so fundamental. If you don't have enough income to make ends meet, you've got a few choices. You can either add income, find a different way to earn some more, mm-hmm. reduce your expenses, or a combination of both. Mm. It's just that simple. If we honestly did that, we would find a lot of places we're spending money that we don't need to.
Yeah, sometimes you have to put it down on paper and take a hard look at it.
You do.
What do you find with the millennials? Are they geared towards savings and investing, or
I'm finding it's wondering. a little bit more than you might think, because primarily, they've seen some bad examples from their parents, and they don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. So they are doing a little bit better. But again, remember, the millennials and the IY generation mm-hmm. are trying to do this by all this information that keeps on being thrown at them. They, too, need just to go to somebody that can give them good, solid advice and show them where to get started.
all this technology is a blessing and a curse. Yes, we do have information at our fingertips, but it can be very confusing. And that is definitely why we need a plan and definitely why we need an expert. So, okay, is there any other advice you can give us?
Yeah, there's advice. I'd like to give you another illustration.
We're on to another shape.
Take your left hand and just put it up, and this will represent the five uses of money. The thumb would represent giving. That's one thing that you do with money. The index finger would represent paying taxes. That's another thing we do with money.
Oh, we're cutting that finger off.
We never can get away from that, unfortunately. Yeah. And the middle finger is long-term investing. You save money with that. The ring finger, that would be the representation of your debt. You pay off debt. And the last one, your pinky, is lifestyle. Now, in a sense, that's almost by design, because giving should be a very large component and the thumb is big. And you know something, the pinky, lifestyle, should be a lesser component. Now, if you've done this well, think about this, doing this well, because we know statistically still that 1 in 5 could literally retire in this country at 55 years of age. It depends on where they have reached that X, what's the standard of living they're willing to live at, but they can do it. So at that point, if they're at, no matter whether you're 55 or 65 or 75, we're no longer at a place where we can save. You know, we're just not earning as much. And by then, you better have your debt paid off or you're going to be in real financial difficulty.
The fingers are going down.
Right.
Okay,
the two in the middle. And then your lifestyle. If you've raised a family, usually your children are gone. You know, you have a lesser standard of living. So what's left? You've got a lesser standard of living that cost. You still have to pay taxes, but your giving bucket can grow. See, and that's a component that we need to be emphasizing even more.
I love that. And I think God gives us more time once the kids are grown that we can grow that bucket.
Well,
although we're filling their bucket, hey, so it probably ends up being equal.
One example of a young couple, they're 30 and 28 or something. They have no debt. They're on their way potentially to Panama in a boat with YWAM ships because they have put themselves in a position to be able to serve God without any of these encumbrances. See, it can be done at any age.
Wow, I love that. Where were you about 20 years ago for me? Okay. Well, it's good to have you now and to be able to help our audience. And how would our audience get in touch with you for more information on investing?
Again, you can reach us at fullpotentialsteward.com. Or www.lifestewardshipadvisors.com.
We thank you, Michael, for helping us today think through how to become better stewards of our resources and balancing our budgets and our lives and investing. Thank you for simplifying it in terms that we could understand.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors of Lancaster. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing for Balanced Life.
Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.